quite often from up here you hear everybody preach baptism, baptism, baptism. Well, after somebody has responded to the gospel and they've been baptized, then what? Where do we go from there? There are many wonderful blessings that come to those who respond to the gospel of Christ in baptism. For one, they're going to receive the remission of sins and the Holy Ghost, as we read in Acts 2:38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call." They will experience a washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit and the hope of eternal life. Titus 3:5-7. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We could go on with benefits, probably talk about it all day, using many scriptures and also different things from the personal lives of each person who's ever responded to the gospel. Indeed, by the grace of God, we are all saved. As it says in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And how shall he be saved? With his sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, as we read in Acts 22:16. As where it says, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Becoming heirs of an eternal life, Titus 3:7, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. These are all very good points to consider, and things that we all may receive from God. But are we simply entitled, as some believe? Are we once saved, always saved, as others believe? Or is it simply God loves everyone, so everyone will go to heaven, as some other people believe? No matter what it is that they think and do, so long as they believe. Or is the answer to this in the Bible, like everything else that we are supposed to think about and believe? If you study God's Word, it says that they are still to be saved. They must make their call and election sure, 2 Peter 1:10. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." They must be careful to save themselves, 1 Timothy 4:16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." They must remain faithful to receive their crown of life, Revelation 2:10. "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, and ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We also know that by faith, that faith by itself means nothing at all, James 2:20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." So what is one to do after baptism that will ensure remaining faithful to the Lord? Here are some of the things you need to remember. You are a new creature by virtue of being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new." Having been raised with Christ to walk in a newness of life, Romans 6:3-4, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." God has given you a new potential for living, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live to the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As we walk in our new lives, we mainly need to keep focus on Christ, where it belongs, so we don't begin to sink as Peter did in the sea when he took his eyes off Christ in Matthew 14:22-33. We need also remember that we are babes in Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And as babes, we must start with our spiritual milk, 1 Corinthians 3:2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither were ye able. As babes, we must start out with our milk, but as our good Father knows, we also need a little bit of time sometimes. God allows you time to grow into the Christians that he wants you to be, Hebrews 5:12-14. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Knowing where we are in our spirituality, we need to recognize the potential danger that we could be in. As babes in Christ, you would be in a critical period in your salvation. A babe in Christ can easily be tossed about, Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Satan often strikes the hardest at the beginning of our service, knowing that this is when we are the most vulnerable. And he is not new to his game. He knows the best things to tempt each and every one of us with, whether it be sex or drugs or TV or whatever each one of us is most susceptible to. He knows exactly what button to push for every Christian, both new and old. Look even now how he tempted Christ himself in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. If Satan could figure out the best way to tempt Jesus himself, then surely he can figure out the best way to tempt each one of us. We need to in turn respond as Christ did in verse 10 when he said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That is the way and the only way to succeed. Satan would love to see each one of us fail, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you're in a crucial period, you definitely face the possibility of falling from your salvation. If you allow yourself to harden by the deceit of sins, Hebrews 3:12-14, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And most especially of all times, you're vulnerable when you think that you're the strongest and that you're not vulnerable. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Whether let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Or as it says in Proverbs 16:18-19, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils of the proud. If you think that you're in good shape with your salvation, with your Christianity, and nothing can trip you up at this point in your life, why would you even bother to have your guard up at that point? Satan's been around a long time, and he knows exactly when and how to strike you, and at such an arrogant time is when he's most likely to come at you. Don't think for a minute that he'll pass up a chance to make you fall from your salvation. Misery loves company, and he's got a lot of misery waiting for him and whoever he can bring with him in the afterlife. As we go through such trials, we must realize that God can be trusted to help us through our temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Christ is not going to let you have anything trial you that you're not ready for, and he's always going to make sure that you have a faithful way to come out of it. In 1 John 2:1-2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the proportion of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." As Dagen's favorite bearded TV star would say, God's got your back, Jack. He will always be there to help you, as any good father should. It's okay to laugh, Dagen. God doesn't have a problem with that. He laughs too. We need to be humble enough to ask God for help when the help is needed. And you're able to be a good example, an example of those who believe. 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." An example in both deed and word, Titus 2:7. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good work and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Our lives themselves should be a ministry. Not everyone can go up front and deliver a lesson or sit at school and explain the gospel to a friend, but as Christians, we have the ability and the power to live each day as though it was our last on earth, choosing to do the next right thing at every chance that we have so that our lives may shine the way, as it says in Matthew 5:16, where it says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And if you are doing that, even if you can't deliver a sermon or explain the gospel to somebody who doesn't know it, if they know you're a Christian and they see the way that you live and the way that your life goes, that in itself can lead them toward the gospel, and that in itself can be a sermon more powerful than anything spoken from a pulpit. Others should be able to look at you, just to look to you as to how they should live if they want to live for Christ. Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example." Things to do as a Christian if you're trying to live such a life to be an example. The biggest thing would be to put God first. Love God with all of your being, as it says in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." As you're loving God with everything you have, you should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you start out with these two things, then you will have no choice but to do everything the Bible teaches. This will ensure that you do all that is necessary to remain faithful. If you're doing those, you're going to study the Word of God. You're going to long for the Word, like an infant longs for their milk. I dare anybody to try and pull a baba away from Isabel when she's thirsty. And that's the way that we all need to be when it comes time for us to read our Bibles. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world, that ye may grow thereby." We need to emulate the Bereans in their attitude. Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." We need to receive the word with meekness, and then it will save you. James 1:21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness and grafted word, which is able to save your souls." As good Christians, we need to be fervent in prayer. Jesus has made it possible for us to approach the very throne of God. Hebrews 4:14-16, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wonderful blessings come to us through prayer, Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to be devoted in prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And one of the last points I'm going to bring is that we need to be diligent in assembling. We are not to forsake the assembling together. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It is a time for fellowship, prayer, and on the first day of the week, the Lord's Supper. And there are a lot of scriptures for that. I've taken up 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I have received the Lord, which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Neglecting the assembly is a symptom of spiritual stagnation and should be a red flag to any of us. And not just in our own life, but if we see a brother or sister stumbling and not make it, we need to check up on them and make sure that everything's okay. Along that same note, we need to help save others. The Lord wants his disciples to make more disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Those diligent in saving others are more likely to save themselves. 1 Corinthians 9:19-27. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, and unto the Jews become a Jew, that I might gain Jews, and unto them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law unto God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is to do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Ye know that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, not as one that beateth air, but I keep under my body, and it brings it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. And Paul's not saying that he steps away from the gospel and participates in things that he shouldn't in order to try and preach the gospel. He's just saying that he's somewhat down to earth. He's not fake about things. He's not going to go into a party and have a beer just so people will talk to him, but he'll talk to people who do party. He'll relate to them in a way that is still Christ-like. Hey, I see you like Chevys, I like them too, but no thanks on that beer. Lose your enthusiasm for saving souls, and you may lose your own soul. While not meant to be exhaustive, these are just a few things to remember. There are a whole lot of other things throughout the Bible that we should be studying regularly, and points that we need to have on our minds every week, and things that we need to do at every worship service. But these are just a few. These are things to be done after baptism that may be helpful for someone recently baptized or even somebody who's been a Christian their whole life. Not just for new, but for all of us. Anyone who has left their first love, as it says in Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. For they should repent and do their first works, Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. These are some of the first works that one needs to do. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. These being just the first works, and not the whole of salvation. The Bible is clear on what we must do and where we must stand. Ephesians 4:5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The word or is nowhere in this verse. Neither is maybe, sometimes, if you feel like it, or in one part of your salvation, but not in another. Simply, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It doesn't need to get more confusing than that, even though we seem to make it harder all the time. As human beings, we have a way of doing that. We take something that's inherently simple, something that should be easy and perfect for everybody, and we add to or take away or just explain it in a way that makes it really hard. But Christ didn't make it hard. Christ made it easy for all of us. All we have to do is choose him and do what he says. And it's not that hard. If you're here today and you've never taken that opportunity, and you want to know all the blessings that comes along with being a Christian, we're going to extend an invitation at this time for you to come forward, devote your life to Christ, and enjoy all them wonderful blessings that come with. If you already are a Christian and you haven't been living faithful, or you're troubled in some way or another, and you need the congregation, you need your family to stand with you.